Greetings in the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Dwight Oswald, and today our devotional is titled Charismatic Deception. Many who claim to prophesy, claim to cast out demons, and claim to do miracles are going straight to hell. Listen to Jesus. Matthew 7:22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? One of the most troubling things about this verse is the word many. Many are in this category. These are church people, quote unquote, church people. They are people who claim to be serving the Lord. They are active in doing all kinds of things. These were not fringe people. They were very involved, and their supposed ministry was all done in Jesus' name. They were supposedly doing it for Jesus. Note three times the emphasis, in your name. This is scary stuff. And that day refers to the coming judgment day when they will give account to Jesus. This is not the believer's judgment because the next verse shows these people are not true believers. There is a judgment for believers in which our works will be evaluated in terms of the reward we are to receive. But in view here is the unbeliever's judgment. Once again, in verse 22, we have the emphasis on them saying to Christ, Lord, Lord. The word Lord essentially means master. It denotes a superior and consistently has authority in view, which calls for obedience. It was sometimes used as a polite address, but when used of the risen Lord, it always denotes his authority as God. He is the God master. Jesus, in Luke 6:46, said, But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? To call Jesus Lord is to acknowledge his sovereign authority over you. To not obey him is a non sequitur. No, Lord, is a contradiction in terms. These people call Jesus God Master, and on Judgment Day, it seems here, like they will do so in a pleading manner as if to indicate with passion and sincerity that it's really true. And they seek to make their case by emphasizing all the things they did in Christ's name, which is to say for his sake, prophecy, casting out demons, signs and wonders. If I were to ask you what category of Christendom this characterizes, what would you say? This has the charismatic movement written all over it. Now, I'm not saying there are no believers in the movement, because there are. But in truth, the charismatic movement in relationship to modern Christianity, in my view, has brought forth more false teachers and more aberrant teaching than any other sect other than outright cults. Massive amounts of people are misled, tragically misled. They tend to think that they are more spiritual because, after all, God supposedly prophetically speaks to them. They claim to have the gift of prophecy. And right there is their major downfall. Once you start claiming to have additional revelation outside the Bible, it spells disaster. It spells blasphemy. It spells deception. It spells demonic activity on a high order. This is most serious. Note the flow of emphasis here. In Matthew 7:15, Christ said, Beware of false prophets. And now here in verse 22, he says, Many will claim that they had the gift of prophecy and used it for Christ. The claim to prophesy is the gateway error to much false teaching in charismania. One of the major problems with the charismatic movement is that it puts little emphasis on knowledge. It's not about studious study and sound doctrine. It's more about experience and feelings. And that leads to all kinds of error. There are a few things to note about the gift of prophecy in the Bible. Prophecy always refers to receiving direct revelation from God. True prophets in the Bible, when they spoke in the name of the Lord, were never wrong because their message came directly from God, and God is never wrong. This is one of the key tests of a prophet. Is he ever wrong? In the Old Testament, if he was wrong, he was to be stoned as a false prophet, Deuteronomy 18:20. Today, many modern-day charismatics want to claim there is such a thing as errant prophecy. Can you believe that? They claim there's such a thing as errant prophecy, but there are still some nuggets of truth in it. That is foreign to Scripture and bogus. Note these points. Number one, Peter tied the beginning of the New Testament prophecy to the prophetic phenomena in the Old Testament. This establishes a fundamental continuity between the nature of Old and New Testament prophecy. Hence, the early church judged genuine prophecy according to Old Testament prophetic standards already in place. Number two, prophecy in the Bible was always miraculous, supernatural. Number three, New Testament prophets served alongside the apostles in being channels of the, quote, mysteries of God, Ephesians 3. They, along with Christ, laid the revelatory foundation for the church age, Ephesians 2:20. A foundation once laid is complete. Number four, prophecy was a direct, fresh revelation, while teaching and preaching are based on previously existing revelation. Number five, Old Testament prophecy ceased, and the canon was complete. In like manner, New Testament prophecy ceased with the apostles and prophets, and the New Testament canon was complete. Number six, immediately after the apostolic era, the early church fathers put a strong emphasis on apostolic doctrine as found in the New Testament, rather than heeding prophetic voices. Number seven, the Muradian document from around AD 170 contains the oldest listing of canonically recognized books of the New Testament. It refers, this is a quote from F. David Farnell, and he says, it refers to both apostles and prophets, stating explicitly that the number of prophets is complete, and thereby indicating an end to prophetic expression. End of quote. A little history lesson. In the early second century, right after the time of the apostles, the early church faced a prophetic crisis, quote-unquote a prophetic crisis. A movement developed in many respects that was very similar to modern-day charismatic movement. Initially, it spread fast and far. It was called New Prophecy or Manichaeism. The early church rejected it because it was labeled, as it was labeled, it claimed to bring forth new revelation. Thus, the early church labeled Manichaeism as unbiblical and refuted it. But it involved quite a process. Chrysostom, an early church father, A.D. 347 to 407, said, quote, this whole place is very obscure, but the obscurity is produced by our ignorance of the facts referred to by their cessation, being such as used to occur, but now no longer take place. After the demise of Montanism, prophetic phenomena largely vanished from the pages of church history. Until all of a sudden, in the early 1900s, there was a supposed outbreak of prophetic activity that gave birth to the Pentecostal movement, which gave birth to the more ecumenical charismatic movement, which gave birth to the vineyard and signs and wonders movements, which gave birth to the contemporary new apostolic reformation movement. But in truth, all these new, quote-unquote, new movements just continue to bring forth old air, namely the claim of additional new prophetic revelation, which all fits under the heading of false prophecy. The charismatic movement is very showy, claiming all manner of supernatural phenomena. Not only do they champion supposed prophecy, but they also claim to be able to cast out demons, throwing themselves around in the spiritual realm as they speak arrogantly in reference to demons. 2 Peter 2:10 and 11. And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, angelic beings, demons. Not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. I take it angelic beings, and demons are angelic beings. Whereas, he continues on, 2 Peter 2:11, whereas angels, that's holy angels, who are greater in power and might, do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. Many charismatic leaders claim to bind Satan and demons. However, only God can do this. Only he can bind the strong man, as taught by Jesus in Mark 12:29. When people wildly claim to have power over the devil and demons, we should remember Jude 9, which says that even Michael the archangel dared not revile the devil, but simply said, "The Lord rebuke you." To throw words around wildly, recklessly, and arrogantly in the spiritual realm is a mark of false teachers, not sound Bible teachers. Many on Judgment Day will have claimed to have done this, only to find out they never even really knew Jesus. And they will claim to have done many wonders in Jesus' name. They really thought they were doing great things. The word wonders is the Greek word dunamis, from which we get the word dynamite. It's the idea of powers. These people claim to have a spiritual power ministry related to special miraculous power. The problem is that Satan is a great counterfeiter. Not all miracles are from God. In discussing the last day's apostasy and how evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, Paul mentions the occult musicians in Pharaoh's court and how in the last days we will have people on the scene just like this, 2 Timothy 3, 8-13. These magicians had actual spiritual power. Yeah, they did. But it was from the devil, Exodus 7. The New Testament warns of an end-time occult invasion, the likes of which I think we are witnessing even today. Claiming to be able to prophesy, claiming a deliverance ministry, and claiming to have a signs and wonders ministry is no evidence of salvation. In fact, here Christ uses it as an illustration of false professors, who in the end will find out they never really even knew Jesus at all. They were all about an outward show, characteristic of false prophets. Yes, they may have tapped into some kind of spiritual power, but it was not from God. By the way, people who don't know their Bible very well are very susceptible to this movement. They quote just enough verses out of context to confuse people. They come off so emotionally convincing. They spout the name of Jesus without end, and they testify as they tell story upon story, and yet they're as phony as they can be. Again, there are some in the movement that are saved, and there are different degrees of error, so I am generalizing a movement that has huge amounts of error because it claims the apostolic sign gifts are operative, when in fact they are not. If you think God is giving new revelation and you think you're going to tap into sign gifts, it gives you a whole different type of theology than what you have if you truly follow sound doctrine, which limits revelation to the canon of established scripture. Costi Hinn is the nephew of the famous Benny Hinn, who claims to be a faith healer and worker of signs and wonders. Costi used to work for Benny, but then was gloriously saved from it. He has been involved in writing of two books to refute this movement. Costi and Anthony Wood co-authored the book Defining Deception, with the subtitle Freeing the Church from the Mystical Miracle Movement. And then Costi wrote God, Greed, and the Prosperity Gospel. In the book, Defining Deception, they write, "This in no way means that God ceases to do miracles in the church today, but that these are not normative or given as signs to confirm the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, God works mightily and miraculously sometimes as we pray, but the sign gifts operative in the early church have ceased." Hinn and Wood say, quote, "Experience never defines biblical truth. The truth found in Scripture must always define our experience." Exactly. False teachers specialize in telling stories, big stories, miraculous stories, but actual Bible teaching in context is virtually nil. Their teaching, while claiming all kinds of miraculous stuff, is actually very man-centered and caters to the flesh. What can God do for you? Health, wealth, and prosperity. And it often makes God a puppet. If you just do the right thing, He will magically perform for you. After all, it's all about you, right? Out of this movement comes things like the Kingdom Now theology, dominion theology, trips to heaven and hell, weird spiritual experiences such as slain in the spirit, which has no backing in Scripture at all. Again, when a person buys into extra-biblical prophecy, it can lead anywhere. That is very dangerous. Note, neither words, Lord, Lord, nor works, prophesying, casting out demons, doing many wonders, can save you. It doesn't matter what you say or do, it's not enough to get you to heaven. What is needed is true life-changing repentance and faith. This is Pastor Dwight Oswald signing off for now.